Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We've been talking a lot of football today. Bears and Falcons, obviously. And we're going to talk about that game, and we're going to spin around the NFL. Each and every week, it is our privilege as we get to talk to Doug Kazarian, who does great work for ESPN. He's the gambling expert, the Daily Wager host on ESPN TV. Also, check out his podcast, Behind the Bets. He's been on with us for the last couple of years, and Doug Kazarian joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Doug, how you feeling out in Vegas today?
We're doing all right, my friends. The weather's calmed down a little bit. I think we just trickled under 100, so it's kind of nice. You know, the calendar has turned to the fall officially, and, you know, it's the city is happy because the books took an absolute beating last weekend, one of the worst Sundays that they can remember, especially nationwide, too, as more states get legalized sports betting. It's just, it was basically a bloodbath because all the favorites won except for the Monday night game. So the Rams Eagles game was like a pick 'em. Like, let's throw that one out. But every favorite at least won the game. Not necessarily covered, but we had seven favorites that won but did not cover. That's tied for the most we've ever had in our ESPN database, which is the Super Bowl era since 1966.
And you helped our listeners profit as your, I think your best play was a Niners Ravens teaser, which obviously was a home run.
Well, that's the thing. It was one of those things where teasers were just cashing because you had a lot of, you know, good teams or maybe great teams as 6-7 point favorites against bad teams or mediocre teams, and it just all hit. Now, what's funny is if the Chiefs ended up losing or maybe even tying after overtime, the books would have actually won. So all these, like, money line parlays and teasers, there was so much invested in the Chiefs, and then you get the Justin Herbert quarterback switch late, and then obviously Mahomes heroics down the stretch. So even with all the other teams covering everything, they would have actually won if not for the Chiefs.
Doug, before we get into Bears Falcons, while we're on the topic of trends, the over is hit like a lot more than usual in the first 2 weeks. I think it's a record, like as far as the average points per game, I think like 50 per game. That stopped last night, but do you think that's going to continue, and is Vegas adjusted on the total?
It's a great question, and you're right. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but scoring is up across the league. Obviously, the Packers are the highest scoring team, but I do have a theory. Now, you know, two-game sample size, are we gonna write it down in pen? And no, not yet, but I think there's some validity to it. So I did a preseason column on, like, how do we figure out the point spread adjustment without fans, right, for a home crowd? Now, is it teams like Seattle and Arrowhead? And really what I found out talking to odds makers and professional bettors and math modelers was that home field advantage was already inflated, and that people were over, like, last year was the best performance against the spread by road teams in any season. Over the last 5 years, road teams have covered quite a bit. So it's actually sort of a misconception that the market kind of, like, you know, perception hasn't necessarily equaled reality. Now, one thing that odds makers did tell me was we think that the defense will hurt, not from creating noise for the quarterbacks, because the quarterbacks now have electronics in their ears and all that stuff. It's more like sort of pumping you up, right? Like LeBron talked about in the bubble, sort of just felt weird, kind of flat at times. And it's sort of the red zone defense was one thing that odds maker kind of picked on, is that look at the Vikings. Each of the last 3 years, they've been at least top three in terms of red zone defense percentage, meaning how many touchdown percentage do you give up with every opportunity the opposition gets into the red zone. And it makes sense. Like the defenders kind of like thrive on that. They get the crowd. Now, look, it's only been 2 weeks, not 100% sure, but it could be a thing.
Doug, defense is optional for these Falcons that the Bears are going to be facing in Atlanta this weekend. How does this game play out in your opinion?
So it's interesting. It's the only 2-0 versus 0-2 game we have on the board. And obviously, when you're talking about this early in the season, a lot depends on who you play. Like, the Falcons losing to the Seahawks is not that bad, right? And then losing at Dallas just the way they lost was excruciating. But if you had told me that they would be 0-2 out of the gates, but they would put up some numbers and just give up a lot, I'd be like, all right, that makes sense. And the Bears beat, like, the Giants at home and then kind of pull one out at the Lions. So there's a, it doesn't surprise me that the Falcons are three-point favorites. Obviously, Julio Jones is going to be a big factor, but Matt Ryan has looked clean. The offense, when they made Dirk Koetter the offense coordinator mid-year last year, took off. And so the offense has looked sharp. I think Ridley and Jones had some great plays last week, although Jones had the key drop. So I actually understand that the favorite. If Julio plays, I'm looking at the Falcons here as a good bet on spot, but can we trust the defense, as you just alluded to? I don't know, but can we trust Trubisky?
You know, it's gone back and forth, at least on my DraftKings app, from 3 to 3.5. Does that make a difference in your world?
Well, it absolutely does, right? So 14% of games in the last 5 years, 14.1 or something like that, landed exactly 3. And it's just very, it's the key number, it's the most common number, things like that. So I think it's just one of those things you have to kind of track Julio's availability. Now, you're not the only one tracking Julio Jones' availability. The market will as well. And obviously, if he's like good to go and sounds great, it's probably going to go back up to 4. And more maybe just stay at 3.5. But if he's out, it'll come down to 3. So, I mean, everyone has their own opinion on buying the half point and things like that. But it is situational. Now, it doesn't apply here because the Falcons did cover. But historically, teams that are 0-2 that do not cover their first two, so it's not just 0-2 outright, but 0-2 against the spread, are like the most bet-on team in week 3. It's like 65%. It's just incredible numbers over the years. And it's just weird, but it means, like, you know, they're going to play up to their perception eventually. So we have a couple opportunities. Like Houston would be an example this week, although I don't trust them against Pittsburgh. But there are certain situations where you kind of want to back an 0-2 team. So we use the term spot, situational spot, certainly favors Atlanta.
So, I don't believe Julio's going to play. I think they look at this as a long-term thing. So that's just my opinion. If that, in fact, is the case, and the Falcons are a three-point favorite, would you be willing to play this game, or would you just leave it alone and look for something you enjoy more?
I would leave it alone, and I'm curious. I mean, Waddle, I was kind of talking about teams that are fat and happy at 2-0. I mean, you've been in those locker rooms. I mean, am I articulating it the most effective way? I mean, there are sort of like, I don't want to say complacency, but it's hard to keep an edge and a hunger, especially with things like turnovers that are such kind of random, you know, recoveries or in fumble, you know, just kind of those kind of hustle plays, if you will, and a certain effort play. I think it's you get those from the hungrier team, so to speak.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on the Bears being overconfident because of the way they won in Detroit in week 1 and by holding on last week. I think this is about being competent. If they're not competent enough, I think they'll get beat in Atlanta. And I think Atlanta will beat them, but in a very close game. But I don't think this team will be overconfident because of how the first two games have unfolded.
Yeah, that makes sense. You just kind of, and there's also things called flat spots. Like last week, I mean, hindsight's 20/20, of course. But last week would have been a great opportunity to handicap sort of the locker room sort of mentality of the Kansas City Chiefs, right? You have the opener, obviously high profile, primetime Thursday night. You get the Texans, kind of like a rematch of the playoff game and all the hoopla with the season opener. And then the following week, you're the marquee game of the season on Monday Night Football against the Ravens. And then in between, you kind of have like a ho-hum game against, I know it's a division game, but it's like the Chargers, and they're not really that good because they don't have a really good quarterback. So they call those like flat spots, things like that. So there's sort of components to the schedule where it's really such a nuanced exercise, this crazy thing we do called handicapping NFL games. But like that's a layer to all this you kind of have to anticipate. And obviously being ahead of the curve is so critical because then you get the best number and hopefully – you know, you win more than you lose.
I know, since you brought them up, and I know it's the Monday night game and we've skipped way ahead, but since you mentioned the Chiefs there, Doug, very rarely do you get the Chiefs with points. And it's anywhere from like 3 to 3.5. You bet them on the money line. Is this a spot that you play the Chiefs as a dog, or are the Ravens just too good right now?
You know, it's remarkable because if you told me at the beginning of the season get the Chiefs plus 3.5 versus anyone, maybe like in the Pro Bowl, I would take it because of who they are and getting above the 3 points, right? Like we talked about how key that number of 3 is. But this line opened 2.5, immediately got bet to 3, and immediately got bet to 3.5. But I'm not exactly taking Kansas City either, so I understand why it's 3.5 and not 3, because if it were 3, I would lay it. The Ravens' offense has looked pretty sharp, all things considered, right? And so is the Texans. Excuse me, so is the Chiefs. But the defenses don't seem on the same level. They each played Houston. Baltimore dominated them. A little bit of a backdoor cover potential with the Texans. I just think the Chiefs' defense is just more vulnerable. And I really like Baltimore. But keep this in mind, Mahomes, in his career, which is only a few years, 12-0 straight up in September games, 10-2 against the spread. Wow. And it does make sense. So, like, with all that speed, and Waddle, you can speak to this better than I, with all that speed, everyone's humming in September, right? Nobody's nicked up, and they got all that speed, and they're just a locomotive, right? Now, eventually, they're going to get nicked up. Like, last year, they did not cover and actually lost to the Colts on that Sunday night game. Mahomes had the ankle issue. So, throughout the course of the season, they're going to, you know, take a little bit of sharpness and speed off that locomotive. But early on, they are so tough. But I will say, it's expecting a high-scoring game. So it opened 51.5, currently 54. You know, when it's that high of a game, you're more likely to lay points, because when more points are involved in the game, that the significance of the points you're laying, like 3 or 3.5, is not as much. Whereas if it's supposed to be a slobber knocker Ravens, old-school Ravens Steelers, and the over-unders are like 36, then 3 points is almost, you know, 8% of the overall game total, right?
Doug, what about the Packers getting 3 at New Orleans?
So this is going to be one of those pros versus Joes game, right? And we talk about them, the average Joes, which is the public bettors, versus the professional bettors, or the pros. Because the modelers use last year's data and everything, and they just think that's a cheap line for the Saints, and it's Saints -3. And they, like, I had one modeler on the show said yesterday it should be -6. And it's like, well, but look how bad the Saints look. Now, no Michael Thomas, and usually non-quarterbacks are barely worth anything to the point spread. One oddsmaker said he's worth about a half point, which I guess is a lot. But when you factor in that and Drew Brees looking every bit of 41, I just don't see how I could lay points with New Orleans right now. They don't strike me as the best team in the division, even though they beat Tampa Bay. I think Green Bay, now they've played weak competition, but I would be on the public side, the Joe's side, and probably take the 3.
What about another division game? Very rarely do you get the Minnesota Vikings with points at home. They're a 2.5-point dog at home against the Titans.
So last week was one of something we called a reverse line movement. So there was 5-to-1 ratio of money in terms of between the teams. So they went to Indianapolis. 5 times as much money and tickets were on the Vikings as opposed to the Colts, right? The Colts. But the line was moving higher. So the Colts went from 2.5 through 3 and 3.5. So the respected money was moving the market, as opposed to the public money was all on the Vikings. And I just think the Vikings may be a really bad team, or mediocre team. I think they had some issues on defense. We know about Daniel Hunter being out. Their corners are inexperienced now. It's a really thin team right now. And when you factor in what I was talking about earlier, the crowd noise and the Vikings being a team that really kind of thrived on the skull chants and everything, you wonder if this is going to be a season that goes off the rails. And the Titans are a mentally tough team. And I've been a Ryan Tannehill guy since he took over Mariota last year. They've been amazing, right, on offense by their standards. So I realize it's sort of the square play, as we like to say, the public play. But I just can't bet on the Vikings right now. I'd rather be late to the party than early to the party. If they win, fine, who cares? But, like, I just don't want to try to be forcing Kirk Cousins and all that right now.
Doug, one of the other lines that looks just odd to me is the Patriots giving 6 points to the Raiders. What do you think about that?
Which way do you think it's odd?
I think I would expect the Patriots to be like a 3.5-point favorite, not a 6-point favorite against the Raiders.
So that's my favorite play, like my lone play of the weekend, and it's the Patriots, because we talked about the situational, okay? So look at the situation if you're the Raiders, right? You fly cross-country, go to Carolina, fly back home, you unveil your brand-new stadium on Monday Night Football, huge emotional win. Great. Now you got a short week. You got to go across the country again and play a Patriots team. Now, look, they're coming off a grind of a game and a big game and stuff, but Belichick is an absolute machine off a loss. How about this in his career? Off an outright loss, so a straight-up loss against the spread, 51-26.
Wow.
So you're looking at like 67%-ish, and he's just a machine. Now, there's a tax you're paying, because you're right, it's 5.5 or 6 at most places, but how much of what the Raiders have done to be 2-0 is really like that impressive, right? They go to Carolina, play a really bad defense, then they survive against the Saints. The running game did a lot of the damage, especially in the second half, but Drew Brees in terms of air pass yards, so the amount of like distance of passes traveled, is lowest in the league right now. So really limited. No Michael Thomas last week. They're at home, and they got a few breaks. I don't know. Like, they were trailing the first half. I'm just not sold on the Raiders. And look, they're my favorite team. I grew up in L.A. I love them, but the offensive line is banged up. I have a feeling Belichick will take Waller out of the game like he usually does to the team's best weapon, and he's going to make Carr beat him, but Carr's everything's underneath, and Gruden had to change his game plan mid-game and make Carr go to three-step drops instead of five-step drops, which was a great move from a coaching perspective. But I just think, like, the Patriots are going to kind of bring it and lay the wood on and kind of pull away, win by double digits.
Doug, before we let you go, give us another player or two that you like. And the second part of the question is, are you touching any games in the SEC this weekend?
Yeah, so I'll get to the SEC. I'm fired up for those games, actually. But in terms of, that's the only play I've made with the Patriots at 5.5. I do like the Ravens Chiefs over, even at 54. I think both offenses will be humming. And I'll lay it with the Colts. I think the Jets are the worst team in football. I think they're extremely banged up. I think Darnold's okay, but they're going to Indy, and I think this is an absolute beatdown. So if you can lay 10, maybe 10.5, I would lay it with the Colts. I think it's just going to be kind of a similar, like, 31-10 kind of game, 31-6. And the Colts got that wake-up call in the opener against the Jags, and now they mean business, got the nice win last week. They're at home. I think they just take care of business against the Jets team that is probably tanking, but Adam Gase has no business being a head coach, and they are just too thin. They have no position groups that are probably top half of the league. I mean, Waddle, you can speak to that. Maybe top 10. There's no position groups that are one of the 10 best in the league. I just think it's a really bad roster. No Le'Veon Bell. I mean, it's just, there's just nothing to like with this Jets team.
Agreed. What about some of the big boys gridiron this Saturday?
So I'm fascinated by the college football with the SEC because you have Mike Leach and Lane Kiffin, a lot of personality injected into the SEC West on top of Saban and Ed Orgeron and company and Jimbo Fisher as well. So fascinating storylines with the coaches. And I think because it's the opener, you don't have any sort of non-conference to go on. I kind of like Mississippi State plus 16.5 at Baton Rouge. Look, Death Valley won't feel the same with no fans there. Leach has a good quarterback in KJ Costello, the transfer from Stanford. Leach, look what he's done with quarterbacks, man. Say what you want, but his guys are always kind of proficient and advanced. And LSU lost a lot of players. They have two returning starters on offense. They lost both coordinators, Joe Brady, now the coordinator in the at the Panthers. And then, of course, they lost the Heisman Trophy winner, Joe Burrow. But And there's something to be said, like, when Alabama wins, they kind of, like, enjoy it, and then they get back to work. LSU, and understandably so, has been kind of enjoying this offseason, just soaking it all in. I think 16.5 points for a Mike Leach team has arguably the best quarterback in the conference does interest me. Quick, elsewhere, I think Alabama, look, Saban's been amazing in openers. Now, it's never been a conference opener for the season opener, but still, I would lay the 27 points at Missouri. I just trust Saban, and I think they have two good quarterbacks. The backup is sort of they're not going to take the foot off the gas like maybe Clemson does, because they kind of need to sample the backup quarterback. So he's going to play with the starters maybe beginning of the second half kind of thing. So I think we could see more points than we normally would with this Alabama team. And I think be careful with Florida. I think Lane Kiffin's going to have some surprise with Ole Miss and going to the Swamp. Again, no fans there. And I just think Kiffin has a few quarterbacks that he could use. He's going to optimize them. He's kind of an offensive wizard that we like to say. And I'll grab the points with them because I'm not sold on Florida just yet, but I do like their continuity. They're just too chic of a pick for me to come out of the SEC East.
Doug, great stuff. We always appreciate the time. We'll be watching.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks so much, guys.
There you go. Doug Kazarian. You see him on ESPN television. The name of the show is Daily Wager. Check him out on the podcast Behind the Bets, and also listen to him on Waddle and Sylvie each and every Friday with great picks like you just heard. All right. If you want to reach us, 332-3776, it's Waddle and Sylvie.
Waddle and Sylvie, weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Who does this remind you of, Waddle?
Devin Hester taking it back.
Every time. Every single
time. Future Hall of Famer, Devin Hester.
Yes, for sure. Will Peanut Tillman make it to the Hall of Fame one day? He's on the list this year.
I hope so. I mean, nobody did what he... I mean, he did something better than anybody.
He invented the move, really. The ball punch is now the peanut punch.
Yeah, I mean, it was just his forced fumble numbers and his interception. I hope he gets it.
Yes. For those just getting into their car, more football coming up with Like It, Love It. But the Cubs and Sox are playing on the south side. And boy, is this anticlimactic.
It is. I mean, and then everyone was like, a month ago or so, I was like, this three-game set may determine whether or not your team's getting into the postseason.
The Cubs could still win the division, and they should still. So there still is something on the line. The Sox could still win the division, but it just feels really awkward in the Aloy news. Why don't you go through the White Sox lineup today, and then we'll tell the Aloy news.
Here's your lineup on the south side. Tim Anderson bats first and plays shortstop. Moncada's at third, batting second. Grandal's catching, batting third. Abreu is at first, batting fourth. Encarnacion is your DH, batting fifth. Mazzara is playing right field, batting sixth. Robert is in back in center field, batting seventh. Engel is in left field, batting eighth. Playing second base and batting ninth is Madrigal, and your pitcher is Cease.
Yeah, Dylan Cease. The news on Aloy is that he is out for the weekend. They're calling it a mild foot sprain. They want to keep him off his feet to get right for the postseason.
You know, and think about this. He's already a liability defensively.
Yes.
You get him. True. But you give him a bad wheel, and now you turn the routine fly ball into a circus.
Maybe he just won't crash into a wall now because he can't get to the wall.
I hope not.
The Cubs lineup, the visiting Cubs, with Yu Darvish on the mound. It's Hap leading off in center field. Rizzo at first. Contreras will be the DH tonight. For the first time all year, it's Jason Hayward batting cleanup and right. Baez is at shortstop.
Panic!
Schwarber down to the number six spot. He's batting .187. Caratini does the catching. Kipnis at second. Nico Horner at third. I mentioned Yu Darvish. And the Cubs lineup is brought to you by my friends at your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. So Javi swags with Toyota.
Normally.
Will we see Javi swag again this year, whether it's this weekend or in the postseason? Do you believe that the Cubs can flip the script once the postseason, and maybe that's what they need, just the fresh start?
With my money, I'd say no. If I was betting my money, I would say no. It's not possible for them to flip the script. You got too many guys slumping at the same time.
Yeah, that's the way it's looking for sure.
I think, I asked the question yesterday after I read it. Somebody else asked it on Twitter, and I kind of stole it. Was if this was a full 162-game season, how confident would you be that your Cubs would end the season as the top team in the Central?
I don't think I could go through a full 162-game season with this team. You know, like, I'm glad it's just 60.
Right.
It was fine, you know, like...
That's all you needed. You didn't need more than 60 of this.
No, not this year. Not this year. And we were starved for sports for so long. All right, coming up next, Like It, Love It, Steer Clear of It. I believe the group did awfully well last week. We'll check in with Black and Abdallah as well. And we'll go around the room with our picks for the football weekend. I like it. I love it.
Just a little taste of it. Like it. I love it. I want some more
of it. Days. We're all gambling.
Yeah.
And we welcome in Adam Abdallah and Chris Black.
Hey, the dorks are here. Hey, dorks.
What up?
I miss you guys.
Oh, we miss you as well.
It's lonely.
You guys still have the baseball show tonight,
How's
right?
Jail?
Yeah,
How's
yeah,
jail, guys?
Well, I mean,
jail's
it's,
good.
Yeah.
Here,
we're hanging
so
out.
Conjugal visits.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Are you guys together? It sounds like you're together.
No.
Of course they are.
Together.
No.
They're sharing a cell.
Yeah, we're opposite parts of the city right now. North side and whatever.
North side, south side. Let's go.
I think Chris is on the west side, technically.
West side, baby.
West loop.
Yeah.
How do you guys
I miss you guys.
How do you guys feel about your baseball teams?
Like crap?
I feel not good.
Yeah. Not
good, Bob. Is it possible for these two teams to tie these next three games and both be eliminated from the playoffs before they start next week?
The answer to your question is no, it's not possible.
Let's decide not to play the 10th inning and let's just call it a tie. We're going to, it's perfect for us. Let's kiss our sister.
And there's orange slices and Rice Krispie treats down in the hallway.
Who wants a juice box?
That is a fallacy, Sylvie. You can never say a tie is like kissing your sister because no one wants to kiss your sister. And if you do, that's weird.
You don't want a tie. That's the point.
I'd rather than kiss my sister.
But you're like, oh, nobody loses. No, everybody loses. Everybody loses
that's
in
true.
A tie.
It is
everybody
true. You're
loses.
Right. All right, what's the standings for Like It, Love It, Just a Taste of It?
Gentlemen, after week two.
Tell me, everybody, how good I am.
Waddle is in the lead with 11 points. Woo! He's 5-0-1.
Wow!
Lost Waddle
yet. Sylvie is in second place, also going undefeated. Last week he has 8 points. He is 4-2. I'm in third place. I'm a 3-3 with 6 points. Chris Bleck 2-4 with 5 points.
Plenty of time left.
Oh, a lot of game left.
A lot of game left.
All right.
All right, Waddle, so you kick us
off. Do I go first?
Yes.
Yeah.
My like is your Chicago Bears getting, is it 3 or 3.5? I don't know.
Right now I've got it at 3.5 on DraftKings.
What do
we use?
Okay.
3.5.
We use 3.5.
Okay,
yeah.
Then we're going 3.5. Yeah, give me the hook. I want the hook.
So you want the Bears?
I'm picking the Atlanta Falcons to win this game 24-23, which means I got the Bears getting a point, but I am not going to be shocked in the least if, in fact, the Bears do win this game. I'm not predicting that. But I like getting a field goal and a hook. So I like the Bears getting 3.5.
All right.
What a hater.
I'm going to take Kazarian's advice and play the over in the Chiefs-Ravens game. I like the over in the Chiefs-Ravens game. The total currently is 54.
Okay.
So I'm going over 54.
Gentlemen, we go to
Saturday.
Sunday. Sunday for this first one, we are going to go to the Steelers and the Texans. The Texans are the worst team in the NFL at adjusted sacks rate at 11.2.
Nice
they allow the most adjusted sacks. And guess who's the number two defense according to DVOA and FPI?
Steelers.
These Steelers. So the Steelers -4. That's what I like.
Black.
All right, Abdallah, you might as well just be reading off of my notes because I was going to point out the same thing, and my like is the Steelers. Exactly that, -4. So, yes, like Steelers -4.
See, they're in the same spot. Wow.
Yeah, they are. They're sharing a love seat right now. They're sharing a love seat.
Stamp.
What does that mean, stamp?
Stamp of approval.
Used to do a before, people decided to not play college football and then decide to play college football again, we would do a college football podcast where we picked all of the over-unders for season win totals. And if we would go in blind and if we both liked it, it got the stamp of approval.
Gotcha.
And then we would instantly bet it.
Stamp.
Waddle, what is your
love? I'm going to stick with my so far I have a trend bet against the Lions.
Yes.
I love the Cardinals at home giving 5.5 to the Lions. Take that all day. That's free money. Free money in the desert. All free money in the desert.
Stamp.
I love the Cardinals.
So my two trends so far in the first 2 weeks have been betting against the Lions, obviously with the Bears the first week. I cashed in on that last week. And I've been loving the Cardinals. I love watching the Cardinals. Kyler Murray is my fantasy quarterback. No one cares. But I do love the Arizona Cardinals.
He's the same height as you. That's why you like him so much.
There you go. Yes. The small guys represent.
Gentlemen, we go to Saturday.
Of course
Guess who's back? Guess who's back?
Alabama.
The SEC is finally back. Roll damn tide. Missouri doesn't even begin to be in the conference. They shouldn't be there. Missouri's a Big Ten school. Get out of the SEC. Get ready to take your beating from dad. So what's going to happen? I like what Kazarian said, where he thinks that Bama's going to roll. Going to just keep
27,
rolling.
That's a lot.
And that's a lot of points. However, I will tell you, and Chris is going to roll his eyes for this stat because it goes back to 2012. The Bama is 24-9 in the first half when the spread is between 10 and 20.5. So the spread right now for the first half is 14.5. I love Alabama minus 14.5 in the first half of the game.
I like it. Because these are all bets now we can do on our app. So it's like not so foreign to me anymore with these first half plays and everything like that. Bleck, what do you have?
Okay. Before Bleck goes, hold on. Can I ask a question? Can I ask a question real quick? Is it going to be callous to pick games because players are missing because of coronavirus?
No.
They're
gambling.
Okay.
This is to help people.
Okay. Yeah. Exploit a opportunity. Missouri's only bringing 70 players. Bama.
Run it up.
That's fine.
Are any of them quality starting players?
You roll into Bama with only 70 players. You're probably only leaving with 20 of them.
Why, do they kill people at that game?
They have to wheel them out.
Jeez.
That's callous.
Yeah.
Like, what's your love?
All right, guys. For my love, let's go to Sunday at noon, the Washington football team at the Cleveland Browns. The line right now is 7.5. The Browns are the favorite. But when you look at all the different metrics, the Washington football team at the moment, defensively, the best team according to DVOA, and also their defensive yards per play, they're sixth in the National Football League.
Good pass rush.
I think the Washington football team, I think that they keep it closer than the experts think. And this is also an anti-Baker Mayfield play. So I'm taking the football team plus 7.5.
Okay.
Love it.
I like their defense.
Love it.
They got 11 sacks in two games.
Chase Young, Waddle.
Chase Young's got 2.5 sacks already.
Yeah, we love Ron Rivera.
Yes, we
do. All right, Waddle, what's it taste?
I'm going to take the Steelers, giving 4 to the Texans. Steelers are at home. Texans don't protect Deshaun Watson very well. So I think that's a 7-point game. I like the Steelers at home by a tutty.
I am going to give the Patriots a taste here because Doug told us about Bill Belichick and his.
Didn't Robert Kraft get in trouble for that?
Yes. Sylvie's still trying to see the video.
There was no taste there.
You know how pissed Sylvie was? You know how pissed Sylvie was yesterday when the courts came out and said that tape is not going to reach the public?
I heard that segment, and let me tell you this. If you're saying you're not going to watch it, you're a liar.
I'm not a liar.
That's all I'm saying. That's my point, Abdallah.
No, I wouldn't
watch it.
Nope.
Yes, you would.
No, I wouldn't. There's websites for that.
This is a gross sound effect. So anyway, I like the Patriots. First of all, I think the Patriots proved a lot to me on the road in Seattle with Cam. They lost, but they look really good. And I think the Raiders is a game where the Raiders had that home opener. They came from behind. They got to travel east. I like the Patriots minus 5.5.
We stay on Saturday, gentlemen. You know who's garbage? Kansas. Sorry, Danny. Kansas garbage. They lost to the Coastal Carolina.
Oh, they stink.
By 15. They're a 17.5 point dog to Baylor. SP Plus, which you know I love, has this game as a 30 point margin. So I will get a taste of Baylor at minus 17.5.
That's pretty good.
That's gross.
Bleck?
That's the grossest.
All right. Bleck is doing it.
Yes. I was doing it while talking.
So gross.
Just getting a taste, guys. So for my taste of the football weekend, let's go to noon on Sunday. Tennessee at Minnesota. The line is 2.5. And so for my taste, this is 100% a fading Bleck pick. Sometimes I look at these picks and I think, what would I normally do? And I try and outguess myself. And then I try and fade myself in trying to figure out the logic. Usually, I would say before the season, I love the Vikings.
You're all
twisted
up.
Before the season, I would take them with the points in this situation. So, that being said, the better stats, the better run game, the 34 rush attempts per game from the Titans, I am taking the Titans minus the 2.5 points for a taste, as they will win that ball game by 3.
Okay, there you go. Proceed with caution if you want to take our advice.
I think we've had a pretty good run so far in 2 weeks.
Not bad. All right, are you guys sticking around for just what to watch for? I haven't done that in forever.
Sure.
Yeah, if you want to.
I'm ready to go.
Chris, do you do this? Is this something that you do, Chris?
I've never done this segment with you guys before, so I would be honored to be a part of it.
Okay, excellent.
All right, so this is where we give you, it could be a sporting event. I mean, there's so much sports on TV, or it could be a television show, a movie, get you ready for the weekend, and then we'll go around the NFL coming up at 5. But next, it's what to watch for.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with what to watch for.
Yeah, it's been like this whole summer I've taken Fridays off because usually those are the days of my treatment every 3 weeks. Today would have been like a treatment day if I needed a seventh treatment. So it feels great to be with you guys. But
good to have you, my friend.
Yes, I haven't done.
Let's go.
I didn't know if I was up or not when I did that. So
yes, you were. Yeah. Haven't done a what to watch for in a long, long time, and I'm in need of a show because we finished Schitt's Creek, as we mentioned, and I don't want to scare you again. Wild,
yeah, I just clinched.
I just finished season one, Sylvie, of Schitt's Creek.
It only gets better, Abdallah. I'm telling you, like once you get in the rhythm and you start like enjoying the characters, like seasons 3 and 4 and 5 are so damn good, and there's 6 total seasons.
Are you watching
really
Schitt's Creek, Black?
I have not, but my wife has burned through all the seasons, so like I'm aware of it. I just haven't sat down and fully paid attention to it. I've been in the background doing other things.
Okay. It's really good. 22 minutes. It won like every award on the Emmys. So in its replacement, this is what I've been watching. And guys, I have a love-hate relationship with this show. I don't know if I like it or I don't know if I hate it.
It's like your
literally
baseball
changes.
Team.
Yes, it's like the Cubs. This is the Cubs of television shows for me. Because what I like is a comedy at the end of the night to sort of unwind and everything like that. And this is another short comedy show that's running on Netflix these days. I believe it aired originally on True TV. It's called I'm Sorry, and it is quite dirty. And I do believe like Will Ferrell has producing credit in it and some of the other famous people that you know. It's starring a comedian named Andrea Savage. Tom Everett Scott's in it. And 1 minute I like it, the next minute I hate it. So check it out if you're looking for a short comedy that is dirty. But have you guys watched it at all? And do you guys like it?
I have never watched it.
I have not ever heard of it.
No.
Okay.
Never seen it.
It's been trending on Netflix. We've tried. We're almost through season one. I'm interested what the listeners say, but I could use a tip. So what are you guys watching for?
You know what? I just started watching, and I don't know if it's something you'll be interested in, but I just started watching Yellowstone. My wife and I started watching. There's three seasons so far. I'm like halfway through season one.
Is it a drama?
Yeah, it's like Succession that is based out in Montana. It's like Kevin Costner is.
Oh yeah, there's a Kevin Costner show.
Yeah, is the patriarch of this family.
People like that, right?
I think it's been pretty well received, but I like it. I mean.
What's
it
on?
Got a little cowboy in me. It's on Peacock.
Oh, it's on the Peacock
network. That's where I'm finding it, yes.
Okay. Is it on the free Peacock or on the paid for Peacock?
You know how my house rolls. I pay for everything. So I don't know. I've got Hulu, Roku.
You got any logins you can pass this way?
Not really, because I have
four
children, and they've all dispersed in the... Yeah. Like, I got every television offering that there is. But Sylvia, I don't know. Do you like anything set out west?
Yeah, I'm looking for something here.
You love Succession, right?
Yes, I love Succession.
This, to me, is like kind of a modern Western version of Succession. It's not from the past. It's like modern times.
Okay.
But he is a big landowner, and he's a big deal. Kevin Costner's a big deal out in Yellowstone.
Abdallah, what are you watching for?
Oh, gentlemen, I have been waiting so long for this show to come back. And people are like, oh, well, is it too much like the movie? I'm talking about Fargo. Fargo has been on FX for the last few years. The fourth season starts on Sunday. This season is set. Basically, they just use the name Fargo, and the guy writes whatever he wants. Noah Hawley, the guy that makes the show, writes whatever he wants. This season is set in 1950, and it's two crime bosses that are pitted against each other, played by Jason Schwartzman and Chris Rock. And it looks amazing. It was delayed because of COVID-19, and they finally finished it. And it starts, there's 2 hours on Sunday night on FX. It looks amazing, like 1950s gangsters. Like
it looks good.
Like it looks amazing, yeah. And it finally starts this weekend, so I'm super excited. It's easily when the years that this show is on, it's easily the best show of the year, just because the production is so good. The cast is always amazing. I think Timothy Olyphant is in a little bit this season as well for you, Waddle.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be really good. So Sunday night on FX, Fargo.
All right, Black, wrap us up.
You know, since it's the first time I've ever done this segment,
yeah, good to have you. Good to have you. That's an inside joke, Sylvie, from the last several Fridays.
I actually have two suggestions. Quickly, one, The Social Dilemma on Netflix.
I watched that last night.
What'd you think,
Tyler? It's scary.
Yeah, it's good.
This is what this is the message I gave all of those Northwestern students like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, yes, you were on the forefront of this. Waddle.
That social media would be the official downfall of our society.
Yes. Black, do you 100%. Know what I didn't like about it though? There was too much acting, and I wanted more documentary.
Stupid. Yeah, that was weird. I agree with you. The acting that goes along with it is dumb. If you want something that's solely a documentary, though, HBO has a new documentary series called The Vow. And it is fantastic. It's about a self-improvement group called Nexium that it brings people in, and it really is a cult.
Ooh.
And there's like sex trafficking and racketeering and all this stuff that comes out as you go along with this journey. But these people join this self-improvement group thinking they're making connections in life. And really, there's a secret underlying thing going on. The Vow on HBO. It's fantastic.
I've seen it.
Oh, you have it?
I actually gave it as a suggestion a while ago.
Yeah, I've never done this segment before.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought. Yeah, I like it.
Probably one of the days where you decided you didn't like football.
Yeah, that's right. And those have been, there's been so many of them, so I can't count. So
I feel like I'm in one giant bit. I'm in a bit on my own show.
Well, listen, but Fridays, you don't know what a Friday feels like on this show anymore.
That's true.
Wait, Waddle, are we betting the Heat tonight? What's going on here?
Yes.
I've already bet him. I bet him on the money line and +3.5.
Same.
Did you guys know that not only have the Heat gone up 3-1 in the series, but the Celtics have out three-point shot the Heat, and also out-rebounded the Heat in this series, but the only thing the Heat are crushing the Celtics in are in turnovers. So if they take care of the ball, they win some of these games.
Yeah, you play the Celtics then. I got the Heat.
All right. Sorry,
all right,
Sylvie.
There you go. Black and Abdallah coming up in an baseball hour with the baseball show. We'll go around the NFL right now, tell you a little something about every single game. We've got Cubs Sox to discuss, too, and Billy Donovan actually made me tingle this morning.
Whoa.
When I heard him.
Ouch.
On, yes, it was that good. All that coming up in just 2 short minutes, courtesy of our friends at Legal Rideshare.